Bibles. Acts chapter 3. Here, Peter and John have left the temple, and just outside of the temple, there was a lame man, a beggar. And he would always sit beside this particular gate, and the name of the gate was called Beautiful. And he would sit there and ask for money. And he looked up and he saw Peter and John, and he asked for a handout. And verse 4 said that Peter looked at him, and in verse 5, this beggar expected, he probably held out his cup expecting them to drop some money in. But Peter said in verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The church now has silver and gold, but it no longer has the power to lost people to say, "Rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, would you notice verses 9 and 10? And 11. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And that's what I want us to see this morning before we return to our series next week, where we left off before the mission conference. Never lose the wonder. Never lose the wonder, Jeff, of seeing a guitar and wanting to tune it. In our reading earlier in Matthew 18, would you turn back there? And I want you to notice one verse there as well. Matthew 18, verse 3. And what's going on there is the disciples have come to the Lord and they ask a question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it John? Is it Peter? Who's the greatest? Jesus called a little child and set him in the middle of them. Said, this is the greatest. And in verse 3, he said, except you be converted and become as a little child. Except you be converted and become as a little child. As Christians, we need to develop a hide as tough as a rhinoceros and a heart as soft as a child. The challenge is that as we toughen the hide, we don't toughen the heart. Keep the heart soft and tender. Children have that ability. You can say something to them, and it just goes through one ear and out the other. They have not yet lost the wonder. They haven't been here long enough to get used to things. Everything's new. They wake up like some people that I know every morning in a new world. Everything's new. At 4, they have all the questions. At 18, they have all the answers. At 64 and up, they've forgotten what the questions were that they've got the answers to. Next month, that will be revised again. At every turn of the road, a child anticipates some new discovery. The humdrum of the daily routine is done away with by the excitement of a child and a child's imagination. That makes for interesting living if they're not forced into an early adulthood like so many children are. Children can find something to do when there's nothing to do. And that's sometimes good and that's sometimes bad. But they never have a problem of creating their own world of excitement and discovery. I like the saying I used to hear in East Texas. We're too early old and too late smart. One of my favorite things that I used to do when I was young was nothing. And I never let Dad know that that's what I was about to do, because he always had something for you to do. And if you're planning on doing nothing, you never tell Dad that that's what you're going to do. But one of my favorite things was walking in the woods. My next best thing was sitting at night by a fire. It's not quite the same as sitting under the central heat valve, the central heat vent, and trying to stare into it. They talk about you when you do stuff like that. It was said of Isaac in Genesis 25 that he went out into the field to meditate at evening tide, at dusk. I think we've lost that. They would today say, "That poor man, I knew that something like that would happen sooner or later." No, today instead of meditation, we take medication. I think if we meditated on the Word of God more, we'd have to take less medication. We don't have the time to do nothing anymore. I wonder if maybe that was why David was called, because someone who tends sheep has a lot of time to do nothing and to think and to think about spiritual things and about, especially at night. Folks in the big city, they lose out on something. When you live out in the country, you can look up in the sky at night and see all the stars. All you see in the city is just lights. But I remember we used to, in the summer, we'd lay down on the ground. That was before fire ants. But we'd lay down on the ground and look up in the sky. I used to always think that it was a veil and it had holes in it instead of the stars. Y'all just didn't have any imagination. Did y'all grow up in the city? We chase fireflies, catch them and put them in jars. Now everything's planned and programmed and choreographed. You can't even walk anymore. No, you have to go on an organized hike. This moves into the spiritual as well. What was meant to be a life of faith and love and spiritual discovery has instead turned into this regimental organization where everything is controlled. Isn't it interesting that in answer to the question, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he sets a child in the middle of them instead of a great prophet or a great priest in the temple or one of the scribes, one of the Bible scholars, one of the heroes, a soldier, a businessman. No, he puts a little child. Would you notice that he said, become as little children, humble himself as a little child. He didn't say act childish. He said to be childlike. If you go back to chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 16, Matthew 11, 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? Jesus said, what comparison can I make with people in this generation? It's like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we've piped unto you and you've not danced. We've mourned unto you. You've not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. The other side of children is the negative side, and that's the side of childishness, the side of selfishness, the side where they're never satisfied. They have to have their own way. Nothing pleases them. They always have to be pampered and pitied. They always have to have all the attention. Be humble as a little child, he says, but not to be childish. Not to be always complaining. Not to be a church member that is always childish, always complaining. If the wrath of God is preached, the preacher's too severe. If the love of God is preached, he's too sentimental. If he speaks in a low voice, he's too dull. If he speaks in a loud voice, he's deafening. If he stands still, he's a statue. If he moves around, he's a sensationalist. Criticism used to bother me. I was surprised when it finally got back to me that somebody didn't like me. I liked everybody. I couldn't understand why they didn't like my preaching. And then I got to understand it wasn't me. I think it was the preaching, what I was saying. I know some older people said I talked too soft. And some other people said I talked too loud. But I kind of figured out it wasn't the tone, it was the words that I was saying that was bothering them. That used to bother me until I learned to identify these children in the market. They pipe, they didn't dance, they didn't mourn, they played. They played happy, they played hurt, they played sad. They play church. Overgrown babies who is on milk when they should be on milk, who complain when they get a new pastor because he changes their formula. A revival happens in the church when childish church members become childlike instead of childish. And folks, those are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. A childlike Christian has not lost that sense of wonder and amazement. I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. Yeah, I know I don't take things very seriously. Have you not looked at things in the world? How ridiculous and stupid they are? How can you take that seriously? How can you take what's going on in the name of Jesus Christ seriously? Now, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord saved me, I discovered joy for the first time. I'd had temporary happiness from time to time, but nothing like when the Lord forgave me of everything that I did. I couldn't believe that He would forgive me in the first place. But then to forgive me and to create a joy in me that was just, I couldn't stop it. And I hadn't gotten over it since, like some Christians that I know. I've never gotten over it. And just like a child, doesn't really bother me what other people think. Only one that bothers me of what they think is the Lord. But I pray that I would never, ever lose that sense of wonder and amazement that I found when I got saved. It's a wonder and amazement of the Lord. It's a wonder and amazement of His works. It's a sense of surprise and expectancy of what the Lord's going to do next. It's waking up in the morning like a child saying, I wonder what the Lord has in store for today. I wonder who He's going to send my way. I wonder if it's going to be a lost person. I wonder where they're going to be at. Do they need the stump grinded and plowed up? Blasted away? Do they need just a little plowing? Do they need some seeds planted? Do they need some fertilizing? Do they need some watering? Or are they ready to be harvested? Man, I can't wait to see who it is that I'm going to come in contact with. What about a Christian? Who's the Lord going to send by? Maybe a young Christian that's in need of encouragement, that has questions, that needs something in the Bible explained. Oh, I love to sit down with a young Christian and explain things to them. And I love to see their face when they get it, when that light bulb comes on. I get infected with their zeal. I get infected with their enthusiasm. Maybe it's an older Christian that I need to ask questions, that I need to learn from. You see, you never get too old to learn and to discover things about God. He's eternal. And if He's eternal, that means we never get to an end of Him. It means we never get to an end of His knowledge. We never reach an end of His of His wisdom. We never, He never loses His voice. That's why I have that here. I've been with my wife for the last 2 days, so I haven't been able to talk much. Anniversary is over, so it's back to normal. Love you. I've always prayed, Lord, don't let me lose that first love. Because I always knew facts about God, but I never knew God. There's a difference. My poor Sunday school teachers, they're all gone. One just passed away last year or year before. And they're discovering now the extra jewels that they have in their crown because they taught me in Sunday school class. So there is a reward for putting up with certain people. I remember when we locked Kenneth McCarty in the outhouse. which was behind the church. And what was sad is nobody missed him in church, even his mother. Now, he always sat toward the back anyway, so I don't guess she turned around and looked. But the opening prayer, Brother Kevin, his dad would always pray. And when he got up, stood up to pray, that was the first time the music, the singing, you got to understand, the singing there was deafening. You could, me and my cousin could holler at one another, and they couldn't hear us during the singing. We couldn't even hear each other. Some of the poor older folks who got the wrong song number and were singing a completely different hymn, nobody knew. And so the only time it was really very quiet was when somebody was praying. So when he went to clear his voice to pray, you could hear Kenneth out there in the outhouse, "Help! Somebody get me out of here!" So that was a very, very rough afternoon that we spent. And I remember the lecture we got the next Sunday morning in Sunday school. You know, those poor old guys that taught. But I remember that. But I can also remember how excited they were when they told us a story out of the Bible, when they taught us something. I remember them. I don't so much remember what they said, but I remember how they lived. They didn't just teach the Bible to us boys, they lived it. And in church, they always noticed us. In church, they would always introduce us to guests that would come with them. Made us feel important. I pray I'd never lose that. I remember having, when I first got saved, a childlike trust in the security and in the wisdom and power of my Heavenly Father. Just like I had a trust in my dad. I didn't worry about anything when I was with my dad. When I would go hunting with him, I didn't have to worry about the direction when I went in, which way I was going in. He always knew. As long as I was with him, I never had to worry about stepping on a snake because he was always looking. I remember him hollering at me. And when he raised his voice, everybody listened. He raised his voice and I was a statue. And I looked down. If I took one more step, there was a copperhead just stretched out there in the trail. I didn't have to worry about anything when I was with my dad. You know, when we first got saved, we quit worrying about things. Our Heavenly Father took care of everything. We didn't worry about what was going to happen next. We didn't worry about problems. We just prayed. Our Heavenly Father took all of that. What happened to that? I tell you what happened. We lost that wonder and amazement. And we become scholars. And we've got everything figured out now about God. And nothing surprises us anymore. We need to get back that childlikeness. We need to get back that childlike wonder and amazement and surprise and awe at what God does and what He's capable of doing. Believing that He can not only do above and beyond what we can even imagine or think, but will. This is my Father's world. Anything is possible. Nothing's too hard for Him. That first love. I remember preaching a revival in Porter. A young man got saved the first night, and he was there every single service after that. Half the church wasn't, but he was there every service. I said, Lord, don't let him catch on. Remember how excited you used to be when it was almost Sunday? You were so excited you just had to tell somebody. Couldn't put your Bible down. A little toddler was playing with his cars in the living room. And all of a sudden he stopped. And he hollered out, Mom! She said, what? He said, oh, nothing. I just wanted to make sure you're still there. When's the last time we hollered out, Lord? And hear the reply, what, my son? What, my daughter? Nothing. Just want to know you're still there. Is that the kind of relationship you still have with your Heavenly Father? Are you still enough of a child that you can crawl up in his lap? Tell him everything's going wrong, all the problems you're having. Don't lose the wonder of discovery. Believe it or not, there's some things in the Bible that you haven't discovered yet. What a thrill it is for me in the morning. I almost spill my coffee all over the table. I've read something over and over and over, and I read it again, and it's like for the first time. And no, it's not because I'm getting older and don't remember. It's just the Holy Spirit revealed something that I was ready for then. And it was just like He wrote it to me that morning. Have you thrilled at discovery? Have you thrilled when the Lord spoke to you from His Word? Don't lose the wonder and the awe and the amazement of His Word. It's eternal just like He is. That's why it's new every morning. Don't lose the wonder of creation. I remember the first time I saw the Grand Canyon. I just went, wow. Amazing. Not that evolution produced that after several million years, but that my father leaned his hand down when he was making those mountains over in Switzerland, and he leaned down a little bit too hard. My Heavenly Father created that. I remember telling someone, boy, that Grand Canyon was breath. Oh, yeah, I've seen that, you know. I hope I never get like that. I remember when I did see Switzerland for the first time. The first thing I thought of was, wow, that must be what heaven looks like. I just couldn't get over it. And everybody around me was going, what are you looking at? I said, are you crazy? Look. And they go, yeah, so? They've seen it all the time. They lost their wonder and amazement. God's creation. Don't lose your wonder and amazement at salvation. That God could save somebody like us. Don't lose your wonder and amazement of grace. That God could save someone like us, despite what we were, despite what we did, despite where we came from, despite our circumstances. He loved us. Don't get over your wonder and amazement of God's love. God loved us when we didn't love Him. God loved us when we didn't even love ourselves. I just think about that sometimes, and it just absolutely puts me in amazement. God, why? Why did you love somebody like me? I'll never get over that. I'll never get over thanking him for all of eternity that for some reason he set his love on somebody like me. I did a lot worse things than lock somebody up in the outhouse. But you'll never know. It's under the blood. But I'm just in amazement that he would love me, that he would save me, that he would make me his child, and that he would give me everything that he's going to give his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a joint heir with him. I'm going to inherit everything he does. How do you get over something like that? I don't understand. Never get over the wonder and amazement of being in God's family and having God as your Father. Never get over the awe and wonder what He can do and what He has done in our life. A child, when he receives a present at Christmas, that one present that he had been hoping for, asking for, and expecting, do you remember the look on their face when they got that? That was worth whatever that gift cost, was it not? Do you remember the disappointment in an older child who gets the gift and goes, yeah. Don't get that way as a child of God. Never lose the wonder. Father, we thank you this morning for a reminder of something that we all have experienced that have been saved. That first love, when we first realize for the first time the magnitude of your love. Lord, it was just unbelievable, unimaginable. The weight of sin and guilt coming off our shoulders, the joy we experienced. And then the more we understood that it was all by grace, Lord, we just stayed in a state of wonderment, and amazement, and awe at you and what you were doing in our life. But Lord, somehow we got over it. Lord, I pray we'd get it back this morning. Lord, I pray you would help us to humble ourselves like a little child. We would lose the pride and ambition, that we would lose the covetousness of the things of the world. Realize our need for you and your power. Lord, remove the childishness, the selfishness, and replace it with a childlikeness and a Christlikeness. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Restore that first love when we realize that we love you because you first loved us. Thank you for our church, Lord. I'm amazed at looking back, seeing what you've done in our church family. To see a young man that was a little boy when we first come. Now he's singing praises to you. I have to share into Kevin and Heather's amazement and thrill of seeing that take place this morning. Thank you for someone who makes themselves available to be used of you to cause others to praise and to thank you. Thank you for the talents and the gifts that you've given to our church and how our folks have made them available, and they do them as unto you. Lord, for the other gifts and abilities that are not up front, that can be seen, only the after effects of what they've done can be experienced. But Lord, you know everything that's done, whether it's out front in the service or during the week when no one's here. Lord, would you continue to manifest your presence here in this church? Continue to work in this church. Continue to save the lost. Lord, continue to grow and mature us spiritually. Lord, help us to retain the wonder, the amazement, the awe of a child. We pray in Jesus' name.